Bible.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
I'm trying to let it go, y'all.
Hey, Don, when you talk to Dee, you tell her that the man of God said to tell her that the supernatural is at work in her body. That the supernatural is at work in her body.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Y'all ready to go? We already on podcast. Okay, Matthew 7 and 24. I want to talk to you from the subject Lifeline. This is a life built on God's word, a life that is built on God's word. Matthew 7 and 24 in the NIV says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a what class? Wise man. I know y'all still caught up. We're going to try it again. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like what class? Yeah, a wise man who built his house on the rock. So whenever I take this word and apply it in my life, it's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. We're going to learn a lot about the Bible in this series, okay? I'm not going to talk about it this morning because on Tuesday night, and you really, 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 really need to come to church on Tuesday night, because on Tuesday night, I'm going to show you the breakdown of the Bible. There's 66 books, what the Bible means, how it was written over a period of 1600 years, over a dozen countries, three continents, from people from all walks of life. There was about 40 writers, but only one author, simply because it was, because God was the writer. Holy Spirit breathed on to all of them. And then there's an overview for the Old Testament. I'm going to talk to you about that, because the Bible is not actually in chronological order. You can actually get a Bible that's in chronological order, but they put it in category where you have law, historical, poetic, prophetic in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament, the Gospels, Acts, then the Epistles, and Revelations. And I want to show you how all that works, because the letters that are written really were from part of the first church. So if you read it from a chronological standpoint of view, you would see that the letters were all through the book of Acts. But we're going to talk about that on Tuesday night. Everybody say, don't miss Tuesday night. All right, if you need to learn about the Bible and understand, Tuesday night is the right night to come. All right, so let's go to John 1 and 1. I want to jump into this because this has to be the foundation before I take you anywhere else. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. If you would go down to verse 14, the Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so a lot of times you can, the word Jesus and the Word is absolutely synonymous, because he is the Word. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Watch this. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness, watch this, has not overcome it. I have two simple points. I'm going to give you my first point. My first point is that the Bible is alive. The Bible is alive. Pastor, why are you teaching this series? I'm teaching this series because it is my prayer that when we get done, that the Word of God, it becomes so much alive to you. You have so much of information and revelation that I got to read the Bible, but that I get to read the Bible. Does that make sense? So the Bible is alive. I've got three subpoints, but before we go there, John 6 and 63 says, Jesus says, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. He says, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. And so he says that these words have power, and if you apply it in your life, it's going to change your life. It's Luke 1 and 37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Now let's go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And the 12th verse, Hebrews the 4th chapter, and the 12th verse, it says, for the word of God is living and active, all right? I'm in the NIV today. Sometimes I do KJV, New KJV, or NIV. Today I'm doing NIV because we have so many people that are coming and, you know, giving their life to Christ. They don't know a whole lot, and sometimes it breaks it down a little bit. So if you're in KJV, it might be, say, quick and sharp. It says, for the word of God is living and active. So God's word is not dead. All right? So his word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. The word of God will do surgery on you. The word of God has the ability to do a mighty work of healing in your life. The Bible said it penetrates even to dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In other words, the word gets all in you. The word messes with you. The word can be all in your Kool-Aid and know the flavor. Can I get a... All right. And it messes with our attitude. It messes with our emotions, you know, and it challenges us to do it God's way. All right. And so for my subpoints, the first thing I want you to understand is that faith activates the word. Faith, because, you know, Pastor, okay, how does this whole thing with the word work? And, you know, how do I know it's true and these kind of things? Number one, faith activates the word. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 2nd verse teaches us, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard, watch this, was of no value to them. How in the world could the word that they received be of no value to them? Because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. You have to combine the word with faith, because it is faith that activates the word. It is faith that makes the word become alive in our lives. Does that make sense? Okay, so wait a minute, Pastor. If it's the word, if it's faith that makes the word become alive in my life, the issue I have is my faith, all right? Okay, well, that's good, because I can help you with that, because it's revelation that activates faith. All right. So it's faith that activates the word, what makes the word come alive. But it's actually revelation that activates faith. This is where you can go to John 1:1. I'll be there in a minute. I think I already told you to go there earlier. I want to show you something. This is where the light bulb comes on. We talk about revelation. All right. This is where the light bulb comes on. A revelation is just simply an understanding of God's word at the level of your comprehension. That's what it is. Revelation is the understanding of God's word at the level of your comprehension. I begin to read this word and the light bulb comes on, illumination comes on, it makes sense, all right? You can read the same verse 20 times and then all of a sudden on the 21st time you see it in a new way, because revelation comes, right? All right, I'm going to help you with that. There are two words for the word in the Greek, all right? That wasn't a play on words, but there are two words for the word in the Greek. One is logos, which means written, and the other one is rhema, which means revealed. And it is the rhema word that gives me, it is that rhema revelation, like the light bulb comes on. You read it for the 21st time, it's like, oh my goodness, I get it. All right. This happened to me years ago with John 1:1. So let's put that back up on the screen. I was reading it like this, like we all read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made by him. That makes sense. All things were made by him. Without him, nothing was made. So all things were made by him. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I would just keep on reading. One day I stopped and I read that. And I tried to keep going, but the Holy Spirit kept taking me back. And I tried to keep going. And it was in verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And it did something to, you know, and before I even studied it, the Holy Spirit said, no, in him, in Christ, watch this, was life, like living, breathing life. In him was life, and when we receive him, we receive that life. And watch this, and that life was the light of all mankind. When you think of light, you think of radiation. You think of, illumination and those kind of things. And so, watch this, and the Bible says, and the light shines in darkness, or watch this, or in dark places, and the darkness don't understand it, right? And so, the Lord started giving me revelation, so then I started looking up, you know, things. And so he says, in him was life. The word life in the Greek is zoe. It has to do with real, genuine, active, vigorous life that's devoted to God. And so when I receive God, you know, when we receive him, we receive all of who he is and all of who he has and everything he has. So he's our joy. He's our peace. You got it. right? He's everything. And so the Bible says, in him was life. And so when I receive him, I receive this real, genuine, active, vigorous life that is devoted to God. It's different from when I was unsaved. All of a sudden, when I got saved, it's like I got this energy, I got this zeal, I got this excitement because I received something that I had not had before. Watch this. In him was life, watch this, and that life was the light of men. That word light in the Greek is phos. It has to do with a heavenly light, a purity, a truth, a knowledge, a brilliance, an illumination. And so now when I receive God, watch this, that life, it is the light of all mankind, all right? And so I've got this illumination. I see things differently. All right. And so then the light shines in darkness and the darkness comprehends it not or has not overcome it in the NIV. Another translation says, and the darkness, I love this translation. I think it was the NLT. The Bible says that the darkness cannot put the light out. So when Jesus is on the inside of us, it gives me a life and a light that I never had before. It gives me this, watch this, it gives me this genuine, real, active, hello, God, is that you? It gives me this real, genuine, active, vigorous life that is devoted to God, right? Right? And not only that, but it gives me this illumination and knowledge and brilliance of who God is and the truth that he is. And it shines everywhere I go. And even if I have this light and I go into a dark place, if I'm one person and there's 25 people that are all full of darkness, 25 people of darkness cannot put out that one person with light because he is light. In him is light and no darkness at all. Oh man, I'm very excited about this lesson. I know I probably need to slow down, all right? But when you understand that in him was life, Zoe, and that life was the life, force of man, it changes things like when you read Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You understand that no, this is something that has happened on the inside of me. You got it? Like the Lord is my illumination. He is my truth. He is my knowledge. He is my everything. Whom shall I fear? He is the strength of my life. I'm not going to be afraid of anybody because the darkness cannot put out my light. He said, man, he started having a revelation of it. He said, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, what happened? They stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise up against me, he says, I'm going to be confident. Why? Because I have the light and the life on the inside of me. And because I have that light and life, nobody can put it out. Does that make sense? And you have this light and life on the inside of you, even in tough seasons. You have this light and life inside of you, even when you're frustrated. You have this life and light on the inside of you, even when days where a little bit of doubt might creep in. That's the one thing I love about God. When he comes and he says, I'm not leaving. He makes a commitment that I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you till the end. You got it? So anybody besides me ever been in a season where maybe was a little frustrated and all kind of thoughts were coming through your mind and all kind of things were going on. God said, there ain't no problem. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to go nowhere. I'm going to be right here. I'm going to make sure I cover you and I protect you. And when everything calms down, you're going to see that nothing changed. Does that make sense? So revelation. So how do I make the word become alive? Faith activates the word. Well, what activates faith? Revelation activates faith. Okay, Pastor, I'm not feeling this whole revelation thing because that has never happened to me. So what in the world, activates revelation? I'm so glad you asked. Meditation. Okay, this young man is teaching up in here this morning, whether you know it or not. So it is meditation that activates revelation. It is revelation that activates faith, and it is faith that makes the word become alive in our life. All right. So meditation activates revelation. This is what God told Joshua after Moses had died in Joshua, the first chapter in the 8th verse. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate, watch this, how often? Day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. He said, if you do this, if you meditate on this word day and night and day and night. See, this is what happens after I meditate on it day and night and day and I keep meditating on it. The Holy Spirit begins to do a work on the inside of me. And then he begins to reveal the scripture to me. So the way I get revelation to work is I begin to meditate on God's word. Does that make sense? You know, I'm going to get to that in a little bit. All right, everybody say point number two. All right, point number two. All right, matter of fact, what was point number one? Let's scroll back up and let's put point number one up on the screen. The very number one. Yep, there it is. The Bible is alive. All right? So that was my first main point. I know I have subpoints. But now, that was the main point number one. Now, the main point number two is I must live by the Bible. The Bible is alive, but I must live by the Bible. Here again, I've got three more subpoints, but before we get to those, I want you to listen to Matthew, the 7th chapter, in the 24th verse in the Message translation. It's going to be a little bit different. It says, these words I speak to you. That's really, Message Bible is actually not a translation. It is what we call a paraphrase. A paraphrase is where they take and they put parts of it together in a way that you can understand it easier, all right? So it's the Message paraphrase. He says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. They're not homeowner improvements to your standard of living. He said, these words, they are foundational words. Watch what he says, words to build your life on. He said, this is not something that you just add to your life. He said, no, this should become your life, and this is how you live your life. He says, if you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. The rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house because it was fixed on a rock. Does that make sense? So I'm trying to get you to the point, watch this, where you move from I've got to read the word to I get to read the word. See, let me help you. I can't stop the storms of life from coming. You know, you're going, the Bible teaches us, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You're going to go through some things. So I can't stop the storms of life from coming, but I can point you to something that when they come, you won't fall or you won't fall apart. Does that make sense? And if you will learn to hold on to this word and meditate on this word, it will reveal some things to you. And it'll cause faith to come alive in your heart, and the word of God will be alive and it will be active in your life. That way, when a storm comes, you got it, you won't fall or you won't fall apart under the pressure. Y'all getting something out of this? All right. So, Pastor, how do I make all this work? This is. I'm so glad you asked. I was hoping today somebody would raise their hand and say, Pastor, how do I make all this work? All right. All right. Number one, everybody say number one. Number one, I must accept its authority. It begins here with your attitude. Is this just a good book, or is this the final authority in my life? Is this just a good book, or is this what I live my life by? Like, in other words, if the Bible says it, I live by it, I believe it, I don't care what anybody else says, I'm not going to move from it. So it starts with our attitude. You got it? Well, Pastor, there are some things I don't understand the Bible. Me too. I mean, I'm not afraid to tell you just because I'm the senior pastor. There's a few things in Revelations that I don't exactly know about. But one thing I do know about is that if I will live my life for Christ the way I'm supposed to, that when I close my eyes here on earth, I'm going to open my eyes on heaven and God's going to take care of the rest. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm forever learning. I'm forever, you know, gaining information and revelation and those kind of things. But you can't, how many know you can't not just take the word because you don't understand a part of it? Does that make sense? Yeah. It is my faith and trust in God and his word that God is real, his word is true, and I'm going to stand on it no matter what. I mean, you know, so I don't understand is just not a good excuse. I mean, I don't understand digestion, but I still eat. Right? I mean, I don't understand digestion, but brother man's going to eat. You understand what I'm saying? All right. And so I must learn to trust God over me. I must learn to trust God over me. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13 says, we also thank God continually because when you received the word which you heard from us, you accepted it. And that's the key. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, he said, we came to you, you had no idea, but we begin to give you the word and you received it, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but actually as it is the word of God. You look past us being mere men and understood that we were mere men, but we were giving you the word of God. He says, which is at work in you who believe. So if you believe, the word is at work in your life, whether you feel it or you don't feel it. All right? At WLCC, we believe in what we call the closed canon of Scripture, that you don't need to add anything to the Scripture or you don't need to take anything away from the Scripture, that the Word stands alone on its own authority, and to the degree that we accept it, believe it, and apply it in our lives, it will transform us. Does that make sense? All right? So number one was you must accept its authority. Number two, I must assimilate its truth. I must assimilate its truth. Assimilate means to work into all areas of your life. And I take this word, I'm talking about me, Pastor James. I take this word and I work it into my personal life. I work it into my marriage. I work it into my finances. I work it into my children. I take it and I work it into every area of my life, because this is what I like to call life's instruction manual. You got it? And there is nothing that you will encounter that you will not find the answer in the Word of God. Does that make sense? All right? And so how do I assimilate its truths? How do I assimilate its truths? Letter A, by simply listening to the Word of God. All right? By simply listening to the Word of God. How many know that we need to come to church? And how many know that we need to come to church on a consistent basis? You got it. Y'all know me, Pastor. I don't fuss. That just ain't my flow. You got it. But it blows me away of how many people in today's society that don't make church a priority. A phrase that pastors hear all across the country is, "Oh, I'm so glad I came today," as if that was not at the top of your list of priorities of things that we are to do. I mean, I understand if you have to work. You understand, or you're on vacation. That's not what I'm talking about. But if I'm home, I should be in the house of the Lord, because I need to hear God's word, right? If I put God at the top of the list, He's going to take care of the rest of my list. You got it? We have church typically on Sundays. It starts at 9 o'clock and it ends around 10:15 or 10:20. That's an hour and 15, 20 minutes. Starts at 11, ends around 12:15 or 12:20. There's 168 hours in a week. Surely we could give God an hour and 20 minutes. Amen. Psalms 92 and 13 says, "Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." So this is what happens when I'm planted in God's house. They will bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh. They shall be flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. He says those that serve God and that make it a choice that they're going to serve God all the days of their life, he says even when they get to an older age, they will be able to testify of God's goodness, of God's grace, and of God's mercy in their life, because they were planted in the house of the Lord. Everybody ought to come to church every Sunday. The Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some have." And so it's vitally important. Well, Pastor, I got the podcast, and thank God for the podcast. But the podcast is when you really can't get here. But the podcast does not replace us coming to church. Does that make sense? I'm teaching better than you shouting, amen, but it's okay. So I have to start by listening to God's word, Romans 10 and 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. The next thing I have to do is letter B, by reading God's word. By reading God's word. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds." I have KJV in my head, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so I've got to understand that I've got to make time to read God's word. Our church has made it easy for you to read God's word because we have the one-year Bible on our website. So if you go to the one-year Bible, there's going to be a devotion, and then there's going to be an Old Testament scripture, there's going to be a New Testament scripture, there's going to be a psalm, there's going to be a proverb. If for some reason you are in that much of a rush that you can't read it all, that's fine, but just get something that you want. Go to the proverb, you got it, and read that and get it in your heart and chew on it all day. Or go to the psalm and read that. Also, we have confession books. I don't know how to pray the word. We have confessions. What do we have here? We've got a confession of unity, confession of love, confession of favor, confession of authority. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I'm not sick, but I'm healed. I'm not poor, but I'm rich. I'm not defeated, but I have the victory. I'm not alone, but I have a friend. You got to say what the word of God says. Confessions of blessing, confession of debt freedom, confession of increase, a confession for when you fast, a confession for the single state, a confession that husbands ought to make every day, a confession that wives ought to make, a confession for when ladies are childbearing, a confession that we make over our children. There are declarations of faith. There are healing scriptures. There's everything you need in here. And then last year, we gave you this prayer, pray first journal. And in this pray first journal, this is like life to me right here. You understand? I love this journal, but it teaches us the lifestyle prayer and then the Lord's prayer. It teaches us the tabernacle prayer. There's scriptures and devotionals. There's warfare prayers in here. There's personal prayer targets. There's even a prayer journal in the back. And we even put all of these, I think if you go buy them in the back, they're like $5. So we're just trying to make sure we cover the cost of them. But we even put these on the website for you for free. Why? Because we're trying to do everything we can do to get you to work. You got it? That's a good place to clap. And so pastor can only do so much, but how many of you have to take it the next step and say, I'm going to wake up an extra 15 minutes and I'm not going to let anything distract me. You got it? We have a prayer call Monday through Friday. That if you get on at 7 a.m. and they stop right around 7:15, man, you'll get the boost you need for that morning. Does that make sense? All right? And so by listening to God's word, by reading God's word, and then by exploring God's word, that is why the writer says, I get your word and I hide it in my heart. I get your word and I hide it in my heart. I get your word and I hide it in my heart. Why do you keep getting the word and hiding it in my heart so I won't sin against you? All right. So the last point I'm going to give you, the one is I must accept his authority. I must assimilate its truth. And then I must apply its principles. In other words, I have to use it in everyday life. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. He says, but do what the word of God says. KJV says, don't be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. So live the word out. The Bible says love, we should love. The Bible says give, we should give. The Bible says forgive, we should forgive. The Bible says pray, we should pray. And I've learned to find a scripture for everything that I've gone through. Every situation that I'm going through, there's not ever been a situation in my life that I'm going through that I didn't find a scripture that I could just meditate on and keep meditating on and just chewing on that thing, you know, where God would minister to me. Well, Pastor, I can't get up and read three chapters. That's okay. But get up and read, at least read a verse or two or three, something that will help you, that you can just meditate on to get you through the entire day. If you will make the choice and the discipline in your life to read God's word every day, you'll get the revelation, you meditate on it, you'll get the revelation that you need, faith will come alive in your heart, and then the Bible, it comes alive in your life. So Tuesday night, we're going to break this whole Bible down. How many books there are, chronological order. I'm going to give you the plot of the Bible, starting in Genesis. This is what happened. Then it went to here. Then it went to children of Israel being, where they were. And then to Nehemiah. And then there was 400 years of silence. And then Jesus comes. I'm going to give you the subject of the Bible. I'm going to give you the verb of the Bible. I'm going to do everything I can to make you excited about this word, that I want to just open it up and just read it. I challenge you. Is there 31 days in January? Yeah. Is there 31 chapters in Proverbs? So what we can do, maybe we'll do that starting in January. And then you don't have to start. You could start now, but we could do it together. You know, just read a chapter a day and get some wisdom every day for your life. It'll make all the difference. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, I thank you for your word.